Hi, I'm your host, Melody. Welcome to the Arizona Area Sponsorship Workshop. This workshop is hosted by the Arizona Area of Al-Anon, and our intention is to make sponsorship more accessible and less mysterious to all Al-Anon members. We'll open with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Suggested Al-Anon preamble to the 12 steps. The Al-Anon family groups are a fellowship of relatives and friends of alcoholics who share their experience, strength, and hope in order to solve their common problems. We believe alcoholism is a family illness and that changed attitudes can aid recovery. Al-Anon is not allied with any sect, denomination, political entity, organization, or institution. Does not engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any cause. There are no dues for membership. Al-Anon is self-supporting through its own voluntary contributions. Al-Anon has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps, by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics, and by giving understanding and encouragement to the alcoholic. I've asked Michelle to read a portion of the bookmark, Sponsorship Working Together to Recover, M78.
Sponsorship is a relationship built on equality, anonymity, and trust, an opportunity for growth for both the sponsee and sponsor, a benefit at any stage of recovery, a commitment to practice healthy communication not based on intimidation or demands, an agreement to recover and grow together, not to struggle in isolation. An opportunity for self-discovery, not a teacher-pupil relationship. An experience based on unconditional love, not shame or judgment. A spiritual relationship with no strings attached. A one-to-one relationship, not an exclusive club. A bond focused on Al-Anon's four primary ideas. We are powerless over the problem of alcoholism. We can turn our lives over to a power greater than ourselves. We need to change both our attitude and our actions. We keep Al-Anon's gifts by sharing them with others.
Thank you, Michelle. We will be exploring Being a Sponsor, Segment 2, Spiritual Principles. We will be looking at what are the spiritual principles, how do I apply them in all my affairs, including my sponsorship relationships, sharing the principles with my sponsees and setting the example, encouraging service. We will now hear from our speakers. They are Sue, Cindy M., Norm, Cindy B., Tom, and Judy.
We will now hear from our members on the topic. So our speakers today are Sue C, Cindy M, and Norm W, and we'll be going in that order. So starting with Sue C, welcome.
She needs to unmute.
Sue,
sorry, that took longer than it should have. My name is Sue.
Hi, Sue.
And I'm a member of the Steps to Freedom Al-Anon Family Group in Tucson, Arizona. So I'm really glad to be here. And I want to thank people who organized this. When Melody asked me way back in August, I have to say I was a little bit skeptical about this format. I wasn't quite sure how I was going to be able to share about something as personal and intimate as sponsorship using this format that doesn't seem personal or intimate, but I came to some of the other workshops and program is program and it doesn't really matter. So I appreciate them taking the risk to try to do this way. So I'll just tell you about the things that I think have helped me and my experiences with being sponsored and sponsoring. At the beginning, when I first came in the program, it was important for me to ask someone to be my sponsor. It was the first time that I ever asked someone specifically for help for myself. I know a lot of different people come into sponsorship in a lot of different ways, and that's fine, but my experience was that asking someone was the first time I made a commitment to myself, and it was also the first time that I asked someone for help, and that was important and significant for me. Years later, I was in a workshop on sponsorship, and there was a gentleman that talked about sometimes you just need God with skin on, and I found that to be true. Yes, I have a relationship with my higher power, and yes, my higher power is with me all the time, but sometimes I just need to be able to look another human being in the eye and have tell them what I need to tell them, and then they don't go, oh, my God, you know, I just need a human being to help me through those things. And I really have always, I've remembered that expression, God with skin on, for a very long time because it was, to me, a very short sort of bumper sticker way to describe what sponsorship has been for me. So a little bit about me. I grew up with an alcoholic. The first alcoholic in my life was my mom. She got sober when I was 13, and she was sponsored and sponsoring in AA while I was growing up as a teenager. And she would let me sit and listen to them talk about program. I didn't really hear personal details or personal stories. I think they took care of that somewhere else. But she would just let me sit and listen to what was going on. Talk program, and it was healing for me because I could see my mom getting better and I could see it helping her. But it also helped me later when I was desperate and needed help. I knew where to go. And then also sponsorship wasn't quite so intimidating and quite so mysterious to me because I had seen a little bit of it in action when I was a kid. And I always try to say something about that because as a parent, you never know how what you do now might help later. And as a child, it definitely was something that helped me. So the biggest way that the disease of alcoholism has affected me is trust. I had a very hard time trusting other people and trusting myself, trusting my own judgment about what is and isn't, you know, acceptable or normal or whatever you want to call it. And so through being sponsored, I have learned to trust in a much deeper way than I would have just in meetings or just, you know, in group type settings. And that has been a big risk for me, but it also has been incredibly healing to have that, to see that I can trust other people and that I can be trustworthy. That was something that I didn't know about myself, and that was something that I really needed to be able to heal. Literature and conference-approved literature has always been at the center of being sponsored and sponsoring for me. It kind of is where we start. You know, working a step, a tradition, or a concept, we read the literature and sort of, I need to get the principles from and the information about those legacies directly from the source before my sponsor can help me make sense of it and apply it to my own life. And focusing on literature and getting started with literature is something that has helped me to keep principles above personalities. It's not about my sponsor. She doesn't belong on a pedestal, and it's not about anything else but the principles of the program. And I really have found that literature keeps us on the I don't want to say the straight and narrow because it's not very narrow, but keeps us focused on the principles of the program. In the 12 and 12 pamphlet, there's a statement in step 6 that talks about how God can and will do what is for our ultimate good if we are only ready and willing to receive his help. And my sponsor is the one who kind of gives me a nudge when I'm not sure if I'm ready for something or not, or when I'm maybe a little afraid of something. She's the one that gives me that nudge. And then she's also the one who has that perspective to help me see my willingness or my stubbornness. Sometimes I think I'm not willing, and she's like, oh, you have been very willing. And then there are other times where I'm like, I'm not going to do this. And she points that out to me. So sometimes I need someone else's perspective on what my behavior is saying, because sometimes I don't always know that. One story I think is important to know about me, geographical solutions were really important. Well, not important, but it was my way of dealing when I first came into the program. So I came into the program in Ohio, and then I moved to North Carolina, and then I moved to Vermont, and then I moved back to North Carolina, and then eventually worked my way to Arizona. So the second time that I was in North Carolina, I was living in a very rural area, and I had to drive an hour to get to meetings, and I was all proud of myself for driving that far and being that committed to my recovery. And I had a sponsor there, and one time, I don't remember if it was on the phone or in person, but she said something that I didn't like. And it had nothing to do with her. It had everything to do with me. But I left the state and moved to Arizona and didn't tell her I was going to do that because I was mad at her. So I have to fess up to that. But one of the reasons I say that is because as a sponsor, you know, sometimes people have moved and they told me. Sometimes people have faded away. Sometimes people have just flat out disappeared. And other times people have, you know, come to me and said, hey, this isn't working. I think I need to do something else. But I know that they're going to find their way. And I have confidence that even if they disappear, maybe they're not ready. I don't know. It's not my place to say. But I did get back to the program, and I do have a sponsor, and I do work a program. So if I ever run into Linda again, I'll have to make an amend for that. But I also, I did the best that I could at the time, which was moving, I don't know, a couple thousand miles away. So being a sponsor has taught me about true detachment. I have, you know, like, I know it is not my place to tell someone advice about anything other than working the steps, traditions, concepts, and how to work the program and do service. Because that role is so clear in sponsorship to me, I have learned to really practice detachment. I know how to do it. I know what it feels like, and I know how it works, so that I've become much better at detachment in other parts of my life because of what the program has taught me about it, both as a sponsor and a sponsee, because my sponsor has life, and sometimes she needs to detach because she has a life, and it's perfectly fine, and it's in that relationship and in the relationships with my sponsees that I've learned that. It's also taught me some things about myself, some of it not always good. When I first started sponsoring, it just made me squirm that someone was hoping I could help them and was relying on me. I was very uncomfortable with what I saw as the responsibility of being a sponsor. And I've learned that, and I'm still learning, that I can be reliable and that I can be relied upon. But it was a way that I don't know that I could have seen that in myself any other way, except for saying yes when someone asked me to sponsor them. As a sponsor, I see my growth. I see my progress in the program and how far I've come. I get a different perspective, you know, talk to each other, reason things out. It really helps me to understand the program better, seeing how it affects someone else in their life, even though their situation may or may not be the same as mine. And I get a different perspective on how the program works, and I get more confidence in my own program and in myself because I can see it's just not just me, it's bigger than just me. And so service has been an integral part of my recovery. And for me, it is not just the extra bonus pack that comes with recovery or the add-on that you get to later. To me, it is part of my recovery. And so as a result of that, I don't have a service sponsor. I have a sponsor who does service, and that has worked best for me. She knows my character defects that I bring into service, and she knows my strengths that I bring into service, and that's because of the recovery work we've done together. And so she helps me with how service goes as well. I also, having grown up in alcoholism, learned how to ask mom for something if I thought mom was going to help me, or ask dad if dad was going to help me with something. And I don't know, I'm a little more grown up now, but I think if I had two sponsors, I'd be really tempted to do that. So I'm very fortunate that I've had one sponsor for both, you know, my service sponsor and my recovery sponsor. That's just my experience. The one thing I would say about service, you know, and this is take what you like and leave the rest, but in the last few years, I've noticed people starting to say to me, thank you for your service. And that makes me feel really uncomfortable, mostly because I don't do service for recognition or attention. I do it because it's part of my recovery. I do it because it helps me. But I also do it because it's what makes this program there for someone else. And so it makes me uncomfortable when people say that to me. And if I need a meeting and am not very serene, I'm very tempted to say to them, well, just get out there and do your own service. Because I notice oftentimes it's the people that aren't doing service that are saying that to me. And it doesn't, to me, that's just very uncomfortable, because that's not what service is about to me. So the spiritual principles in sponsorship, that's a little hard to separate out. But it has a lot to do with talking things over and reasoning things out with my sponsor. We do that over the literature, and we do that, you know, if there's something that I'm struggling with. But my sponsor is the one that helps me to see the spiritual awakenings in my program and to see the spiritual principles at every step. And so I don't know if to say it's a spiritual relationship, but it brings me to a deeper spiritual understanding because of that relationship. She's also the one who asks me when I'm struggling, you know, if I'm struggling with a problem, she's the one who asks me, what have I come to believe in? Has me go back to who is your higher power and what have you come to believe in, and reminding me that there is no problem in front of me that is bigger than the power behind me. Sometimes I have to go back and think specifically about what are the things that I believe about my higher power. And she's also the one who reminds me to do a gratitude list when I'm feeling sorry for myself or when I'm discouraged. You know, you think I'd know that by now, but I still need somebody to remind me. And there is something very spiritual and healing about a gratitude list, no matter the situation. And so that's one of the ways that my sponsor brings me to my higher power. The other thing that I really hate, but she does it, is that she asked me to pray for those people that I'm having a difficult time with. Those people that I'm having a hard time accepting, or the people that I'm resenting, or sometimes even the people that I just flat out hate. I don't like saying that about myself, but sometimes that's true. And she'll ask me to pray for them, and I pray that they would find the peace and serenity that they seek. And sometimes I do it with gritted teeth because I don't want to do it. But it gets better, and it gets easier. And it helps me with my serenity, and it helps me get my ego out of the way and to have some humility about what's happening in the relationship. It helps me to accept them. They are doing the best that they can, even if I don't like it. And most importantly, it works to help me let things go. And so those are the things that I think of when I think of sponsoring, and service and spiritual principles. But I do go back to thinking about that idea of God with skin on, because I do need that human contact, because it was so messed up in the alcoholic situation that I do need someone who can express caring and love face to face. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thanks to Hannah. You good for me to go? You're muted.
Thank you, Sue. Next we'll hear from Cindy.
Thanks, Hannah. Thanks, Sue. My name is Cindy M. I'm from Tucson. My home group's Northwest Saturday Early Risers. And before I share on the topics or the questions for this segment, I thought I'd share a little bit about my sponsorship journey, so to speak. I came into Al-Anon when my husband went into rehab, and all I wanted was him to stop drinking. I was very angry. It was, you know, nothing to do with me getting him to stop drinking, but I did push him into going into a rehab, so you can tell how well that worked. I had no spirituality, let alone principles. It was kind of like my way or the highway. But at my second meeting, I ran into someone I worked with. It took me about 4 months of desperation, basically, before I asked her to be my sponsor. And the reason it took me so long to ask her is I was looking for the perfect sponsor. I wanted somebody that was older than me, married, with kids, preferably boys, and working a good program. However, she was younger than I. She was single. She had no kids, but she did have a good program. And we began to work the steps by looking at the conference-approved literature, reading it, studying it, and looking at principles such as awareness, acceptance, and trust. Sue mentioned trust, and that's a big one for me as well. When I reached step four, she suggested I started to attend a four-step meeting using the Blueprint for Progress. And I found other principles in that book, such as unconditional love, responsibility, and maturity. And there's some really good quotes. You'll have to look them up for yourself because I can't quote them here, in the old Blueprint for Progress, especially on maturity. But working with her, we got to about step eight, and she moved. So one of my close friends from that four-step meeting, I kind of called her my self-appointed service sponsor. She would ask me what I was doing on a Tuesday night or Friday night, doesn't matter what night. And when I say nothing, she'd say, oh, good, you can come with me. And we fill in the blanks. We went everywhere to women's shelters, halfway houses, even a psychiatric ward, and of course in the car on the way, she'd say, now when we get there, you just share a little bit about yourself. I don't know that I had anything to share back then. But that four-step meeting, I became their group representative because basically it got me out of the house, and I got to go with that sponsor to assemblies and district meetings. So, however, then I moved. And when I got to Tucson, I had to ask somebody else to be my sponsor. And the woman I asked, I refer to her as my divorce sponsor because she had just gone through a divorce and I was getting ready to do so. Then I got involved in area service, and I asked another woman to be my service sponsor, and she said no because she said she uses her personal sponsor as her service sponsor, and that the same issues that arise in her personal life come up in service. And I think I heard Sue talk a little bit about that as well. So then when my new sponsor moved, I asked her again, and she said yes. So I got a two-for-one deal, basically, and she's been my sponsor ever since. As far as being a sponsor, I've had the privilege of being a personal sponsor, a service sponsor, and an Alateen sponsor. I currently work with a handful of people and a few by phone because we don't live in the same city, that if I'm asked to sponsor someone, we usually meet for coffee or have a phone conversation. We talk about our roles. We decide on what piece of conference-approved literature we're going to use, and we plan our first meeting. And for newer members, before we move on to step four, we assess if the relationship is working or not for both of us before we continue. With others, we do a periodic check-in, usually after we finish a piece of literature we're reading together. Some of the books I like are Reaching for Personal Freedom, Path to Recovery, How Al-Anon Works, The Blueprint for Progress, the new one, Opening Our Hearts, Transforming Our Losses, Intimacy in Alcoholic Relationships, and some of our pamphlets as well. So that's a little bit about my sponsorship journey. The questions that came up in this segment, the first one, what are the spiritual principles? And boy, this is a great question because it's so loaded. You can, some people I've heard share in meetings that they believe the steps, traditions, and concepts are the spiritual principles. But for me, the three legacies embody spiritual principles, and I have to study each one to determine what's in there. And that each step, tradition, and concept can have one or many spiritual principles embedded in it. And what I see might be different from what you see. They say there are no right or wrong answers. And so I Googled spiritual principles to see what came up. It's like this modern-day version of the dictionary. It says, being spiritual is a process of ongoing daily action. And it also says principles of spirituality are part of our approach to life, ways of being, doing, thinking, believing, behaving, and engaging with life that can enable us to live toward our highest potential. I like that one. It also quotes other programs that list a single principle for each step, but I find that too confining because I see multiple spiritual principles in some of the steps, and first three come to mind. When you look at step one, we admitted we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. I see honesty, awareness, and acceptance all embedded in there. I need to be honestly aware that I'm powerless. I need to accept that my life has become unmanageable. Maybe those attempts to control the drinker early on contributed to that unmanageability. In step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I see faith and hope. Once I redefined my higher power, which I needed to do to work this program, I could act in faith and feel the hope of being restored to sanity. Speaking of hope, I thought you might actually reveal the secret formula for getting someone to stop drinking. That's hope. In step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. I see both willingness and trust. If I willingly turn over my life, I'm trusting that God's got it. And then sometimes I see the same spiritual principle in multiple steps. Like in step one, that honesty, awareness, and acceptance, I also have found courage. It took courage to walk into my first meeting. And in step four, it takes courage to look at myself and take my own inventory. I also found balance in both steps 4 and 10 because they say to look at both your assets and your character defects and do so when you review your day each, for me, it's each evening. Other spiritual principles I've found in the steps include humility in step 7. I learned to ask my higher power for help. I found spiritual empowerment in step 11, where I found the power to carry out God's will through prayer and meditation. I found gratitude in step 12, and I found love in all the steps. So for me, the steps give me, help me to be a better me. Then, of course, I needed tools to play nicely with others in the sandbox. That's the traditions. Autonomy in tradition 4 taught me about freedom, but with responsibility. I'm free to be me, but I have to make sure I'm not harming others. I learned encouragement and understanding in tradition 5, where it's not always about me. I found cooperation in tradition 6, as I was asked, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? I practiced shared leadership in tradition 9, as I was told I no longer have to do anything alone. And the principle of attraction in tradition 11 was emphasized with the saying, you could be a good example or you could be a good bad example. and I've been both. Then there's anonymity in traditions 11 and 12. My sponsor's favorite question is, why is anonymity the spiritual foundation of all our traditions? I like to ask people that now too. But I think anonymity, I look at it as like a super principle, I guess. I think it incorporates other spiritual principles within it. I think it has equality, humility, patience, tolerance, and integrity all built in. I believe we all have the same spiritual potential, but, you know, we're all spiritual equals, but we're not necessarily all in the same spiritual place. Doesn't matter, though, how long we've been here, what we do for a living, what family we belong to. We all have access to these tools, which are the spiritual principles. And for me, the traditions help me be a better we. And then there's the concepts. I'd like to share that the concepts have helped me to participate in the world through service and help make it a better place for us all. The principles found in the concepts have provided me with an opportunity to practice delegation, authority, participation, flexibility, balance, personal leadership, abundance, prudence, and equality. I have to become a good leader of myself before I can be of service to others. My favorites are concept 4, participation is the key to harmony. I like to add, but only when asked to participate. As I used to participate without being asked, that's not very good. And then warranty 1, an ample reserve is our prudent financial principle. I like to like that because there's always enough. I just need to use my time and money and talents wisely. So that's enough on the spiritual principles. I think the second question talks about how do I apply them in all my affairs, including my sponsorship relationships. Simple answer to that is practice, practice, practice. I'm getting some feedback on my line. I don't know what's going on here. Anyways. Not sure what's happening, but anyways, by working with my sponsor and sponsees, I can read and study conference-approved literature. I don't like the sound. And look for the principles in each step, tradition, or concept. Then I get to practice them. I practice the principles at home. I practice them in meetings with my sponsor, with my sponsees. When I worked at work, when I went to school, at school. The best place to practice spiritual principles is while driving in the car or in line at the grocery store. You know, basically everywhere. And then we can share our experience, strength, and hope with each other through sponsorship and workshops like this. The third, it's not really a question, it's a statement, sharing the principles with my sponsees and setting the example. By sponsoring, I get to work the steps, traditions, and concepts over and over again, and I get to hear other people's experience, strength, and hope. I'm even currently working with several ladies that wanted to study the concepts. They haven't studied the concepts yet, and so we created a series of conference calls, and we went through the concepts using the Path to Recovery. We're now using Reaching for Personal Freedom to go horizontally through the legacies, Step 1, Tradition 1, Concept 1. So an example of setting an example is being flexible about when we meet, where we meet, how long we meet for, how often we meet. You know, everybody's program's the same, so I can't treat everyone the same. That wasn't the case when I was early in program. I had somebody tell me I needed to call her every day at, you know, a certain time, and that lasted about 2 times when she was always busy. So another example is not being overly or underly responsible, but just being responsible for my side of the street. In that respect, I ask the people I work with to call me to set up a time to get together since it's their program. And then we set up our next time when we do get together. You know, it's about, I think about balance. You know, an airplane spends 97% of the time in course correction and taking care of ourselves before trying to help others. You know, the old oxygen mask on the airplane. It's not scary if I do it first. So speaking of taking care of ourselves, my favorite way of taking care of me is planning pajama days and massages. So, you know, I just have to remember I could be a good example or a good bad example. And the last thing I wanted to talk about was encouraging service. If you want plenty of practice living by spiritual principles, just take on a service commitment. And I like what Sue said, it is part of our recovery. But whether it's at the group, the district, the AIS, the area, or the WSO level, you know, the same spiritual principles need to be practiced, like mutual respect, mutual trust, responsibility, and acceptance. Those are the ones I work on constantly. I just needed to do my part and allow others to do theirs. I didn't know it at the time, but the very first meeting I went to, I was encouraged into service. During the announcements, somebody passed around an envelope with slips of paper that had three names and phone numbers on them. And she asked for volunteers to call people to remind them that they had signed up to bring something to the hospitality suite at the convention that was being held the following weekend. The lady sitting next to me poked me and said, "Honey, take one. It'll be good for you." Now, she was right. So there's my time. My timer has gone off, so I'm going to just say I encourage everybody to get into service. Okay, let's go away. Sorry about that. I encourage you to get a sponsor if you don't have one. Study the steps, the traditions, and the concepts, and practice them. Find your spiritual principles, because they might be different than mine, and get them and use them when you take them into your next service position. Now, look for the opportunities to be of service, and I'll get off my soapbox and thank you for allowing me to participate in this, because I think this has been a fabulous workshop, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you so much, Cindy. And next, we will hear from Norm.
Oh, okay, good. All right. My name is Norm. I'm an incredibly blessed member of the Worldwide Fellowship of Al-Anon and Allah Team. I want to thank Claudia and the Arizona area for asking me to share on the subject. It's interesting. All of us got the same materials, and I didn't understand it the way anybody else did. I thought I was just supposed to answer the question, so I'm just going to go ahead and do that and throw in myself as I go along. So I'm pretty sure this isn't what was intended, but this is what we're doing. The first question was, what are the spiritual principles? And to me, the spiritual principles that are key for my recovery are what I call God consciousness, faith, and trust, recognizing that all answers are in higher power's hands and that I can only be truly happy when I seek to bring my actions and my thoughts in alignment with my spirit's will. Central to this is seeing the God within me, the soul, the inner voice, that place at the core that is the essence of love and childlike wonder, and that part of each of us untouched by the disease of alcoholism. It is all that we admire and aspire to be. For me, it is that piece of my gentle spirit within me, and I call it my soul. The second thing is self-love. I came to you overwhelmed with self-hatred and contempt for myself. Every major action I took or decision I made was grounded in fear, insecurity, and false ego. For the first 48 years of my life, and all too often, even after I found you. Self-love to me is the goal of recovery. I believe for it to occur, it must be grounded in faith, acceptance, and my Creator's love for me, just as I am. Related spiritual concepts for me are self-care and boundaries. Next, taking responsibility for my actions. This is huge for me. My attitudes, my happiness, not being a victim. Victimhood was my primary religion when I came here. It was my main compensatory behavior. I spent almost all my life looking for someone else to blame for my misery, my failed relationships, and my own unacceptable behavior. And to me, the integral part of this is the spiritual concept of gratitude. Another one is honesty and communication with love. To me, honesty is the absolute core of recovery. I must also learn to look at myself and others with love and compassion. And that ties in with the concept of mutual respect. Forgiveness has been key to me. Understanding that holding on to resentments only poisons me. It does nothing but create soul holes and soul sicknesses within me. Humility and acceptance. My belief is that humility is about understanding my relationship to my higher power and all other beings. What is mine and what is God's? Accepting that all beings have their own God and trying to understand that I'm not it. Safety, confidentiality, and respecting anonymity. Good. I thought I screwed up on my clock. Technology is not my main strength or spiritual quality. Safety, confidentiality, and respecting anonymity. There is no more important principle than the creation and maintaining of safety of our rooms and relationships, particularly in sponsorship. Okay, there are so many others that I want to go and mention, but I have 15 minutes, and lucky for you, I've got three other questions to answer, so I'll move on. How do I apply them to all my affairs, including sponsorship relationships? The key to recovery to me, especially in sponsorship, is the commitment to continuously work the steps and to also work the traditions and the concepts. I began the steps right after I got my first sponsor, Bill, who was my first spiritual giant. That was when my true healing began. I saw patterns of my choices of victimhood and failure to take responsibility for my actions. I saw the pain and that my anger, my self-righteousness, and my resentments had caused to others, mostly those whose only sin was to love me. I began to recognize my ongoing struggle with self-contempt. Bill introduced me to a benevolent power greater than myself. I had not accepted that this God could actually love me. Then Bill disappeared. We made it to the 12 steps, Cindy, so I got four on you. But he left when we were still working it. And I stopped working the steps. And I really think this was a key part of my recovery. For the next 5 years, I didn't have a sponsor, and I didn't work the steps. And who I was and how I became was what you'd expect. It was funny. It was service that saved me. I was at some of the people here were at that same Swartum. Swartum is the Southwest Regional Delegates meeting. We were there, and on a Friday night, I thought two former delegates had come to kiss my ring and tell me what a wonderful job I was doing for humanity in the world, in the New Mexico area in particular. But that's not what they wanted to talk to me about. They wanted to talk to me about my ego and my arrogance. They wanted to talk to me about not misusing the service manual. They wanted to talk to me about self-promotion and dominance. And to prove just how right they were, I responded by being the victim of all victims. I don't have time to go into the details of that story, and that's probably another blessing for y'all. But I knew on a soul level that I needed to change my life. I needed to change things that I was doing, and I needed to work the steps and get a sponsor. Since then, I've been continuously sponsored and continued to work the steps. In sponsorship, I talk to my sponsees about the necessity of continuing on with the steps. Each time I've taken the steps, something that I needed to work on, and most of the time something I had no idea that I was going, the steps would lead me there, is where we came. My faith became the essence of my recovery. I struggled with God from the outset of my time in Al-Anon. My development with a relationship with a higher power has been a long and slow process. The God of my childhood was an angry, punishing, vindictive God, and I knew where I was going, and I didn't want anything to do with him. Bill, my spiritual giant, gave me glimpses of a kind and loving higher power. After I began working the steps again with a new sponsor, we continued to speak of a benevolent God, but I still couldn't fully accept that this God existed, and even if he did, that he could ever love me. Not with what I had done in my life and what he knew about me. Then my gentle spirit brought David into my life. Our GR brought a meeting to David. David was dying of a terminal disease. He had been a vibrant, exciting man, an athlete, and I saw him laying on a cot in his living room. And he talked about the gratitude of his God's love for him and how it had brought his daughter back into his life and the grace that he had had from this. And I was thinking as I sat there looking at David, thinking, if it was me, how would I be feeling? And I knew that I'd be bitter, angry, and feel like I was betrayed by God. I had no sponsor at that time, and I wanted desperately to have what this man had. But I thought to myself, Norm, not even you are that selfish to ask a dying man to sponsor you. And then in my meditation, time and time again, I kept on seeing David's face. When I asked him to sponsor me, and he agreed, he never asked me why I picked him, and we never talked about it. But when I walked into his living room that we had our Tuesday nights with David, when I walked into his living room after work that first time, he said to me, Norm, where are you at with your second step? So if God wasn't directing that, I don't know what was. He gave me a loving, kind, benevolent God who only wanted what was best for me. He showed me God's presence in all 12 steps, and he told me the story of his Tunisian grandmother who always used to tell him, Abba est todo, which is Latin for God is everything. The answer to every question, every problem, every concern. The place we look when we feel lost and place we look when we need an answer. He told me to listen to that inner voice, that's where I would find God. Peace when I was right and discomfort and disease when I was going against it. And it was from hearing your voice that I began to be able to tell what was true and what was not true. I tell each of my sponsees that they're on their own journey. And only by hearing their inner voice can they know where their path is taking them. I can't tell them what to do, and what may be the right answer for me may have nothing to do with them. I don't even know how I'm doing on time, but it's not even telling me. Okay, I'm not doing well on time. Let's see. Next one is sharing the principles with my sponsees. The idea of what David showed me, this is where mutual respect, patience, and humility are a key for me in sponsoring. I must know my place and practice that humility. Their growth, what comes out of this walk through the steps, how long it takes, and what we work on is in Spirit's hands and not in mine, and not in theirs. Each time I have worked the steps, I have thought I knew where it would lead, and every once in a blue moon, I was right. Usually, we wind up working on something that I had never even thought about. I try to allow the focus of our trip through the steps to develop from what the sponsee tells me is going on with him or what he writes about. I must be flexible to where they lead us and what my inner voice tells me. When talking about higher power, which is so difficult because there's so many conceptions of it, with their faith, I must be patient. Each will develop his own concept of God in his own time. I share my concept. I speak of what I think, and we speak of what we think. It means have a power greater than ourselves, as it says in step 2, or God as we understood him in step 3. I allow them to develop their own concept, and I try and give them silly exercises like walking around with a pad and telling me every time, writing down every time they feel God's presence or God, they see proof of God in their life. Taking responsibility for our actions. This was so huge for me because I just was such a victim. And the choices and responsibilities and taking responsibility. I think one of the things that Bill gave me was the notion that it's a choice, that I actually had choices, that I was choosing to be a victim, and that my welfare and my well-being were my decisions, and that by putting that into someone else's hands and usually it was the sickest person in the room that I decided to make my God. He made me understand, as the Currency Change tells us, that ours is a disease of attitudes, and our attitudes are within our control. I never quite understood this. I love that reading about the misery list and the gratitude list, but I don't have time to go into that. But the thing that helped me most was the Cherokee story of the two wolves. And I also probably don't have time to go into that right now. So I'm just going to, but basically it was through that story and which wolf am I feeding that I got to see that I was the one who was dictating that. Service, I don't have time to tell you what service has given me, but I'll tell you, my compensatory behaviors from being a victim, the things I use to cover up so other people won't see, are the things that I learned to deal with in service. I don't pressure my sponsees to become involved in service. I share with them what service has given me and what it means to me. I suggest to them positions that I think they'd be good at, and my inner voice has told me not to ever make them doing service a condition of us working together. Some have become active in service, others have not, and all of them have taught me way more than I've given them, and bingo, 15 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Norm.
We'll now hear from our members on the topic, and they will be in this order, Cindy, Tom, and Judy. So, Cindy, you're up. Please unmute yourself and take it away.
Good morning, Arizona. My name is Cindy B. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. I love the spiritual principles inherent in the steps, and I'll just briefly explain what those are without explaining what the steps are, because we know what the steps are. Step one is honesty. Step two, hope. Three is faith. Four is courage. Five is integrity. Six is willingness. Seven is humility. Eight is self-discipline. Nine is love for others. 10 is perseverance. 11 is spiritual awareness, and 12 is service. And when I first came to Al-Anon, I was really afraid to ask someone to be my sponsor because I didn't think I was worthy. I didn't really understand what it was about, but people kept saying, keep coming back, keep coming back, and I did. And eventually, I asked this wonderful woman to be my sponsor, and she was my sponsor for a long time, and she helped me through the first three steps, but I couldn't do the fourth step because I was terrified. And so with my second sponsor, she encouraged me, and I started over because when I work with sponsees and they say, well, I've already worked the first three steps, so I don't need to do those with you. I say, well, you know, I didn't hear those first three steps, so I think it might be a good idea for us to just briefly go over those again. And I've never had a sponsee complain about that. And so how do I apply them in all my affairs, including my sponsorship relationships? When I first started coming to program, I heard people talk about that spiritual awareness in step 12 as a result of working the 12 steps. And they would explain in detail what that looked like. And I thought, Oh, that sounds really good, because I was really, really extremely crazy when I got to program, and I thought, okay. And they said, it's guaranteed. And I thought, well, aren't many things in life guaranteed, you know, other than like your tire warranty on your vehicle. So I thought, okay, I'll try it. And so I did, and I did have that spiritual awakening. So when I work with someone who's afraid to do that scary step four, that scary step nine, I just say, I focus on the 12th step. You know, if you do these to the best of your ability, there doesn't have to be perfection. You just do the best you can where you're at. And I've done my step work over and over in Moore's Reveal. And I'm really grateful for that, because I thought in the beginning, well, I have to do it perfectly the first time because I'm a perfectionist. And my sponsors along the way have said, no, just, you know, when you read the questions and the workbooks, it'll prompt responses. And so I'm really grateful for that. And that's how I work with my sponsees. And how do I share these principles with my sponsees and set the example? I do my best to, as it says, practice these principles in all my affairs. So when I share in a meeting about something I'm frustrated with, I say, you know, I don't like what my loved one is doing in this particular situation. And so, when I get really frustrated and think I can manage my own life, I start using the tools. I read my literature. I read my daily readers. I have all of them. I'll pick one and go to the index and start reading about that particular topic. And it really helps me get out of the insanity. I'll pray. Prayer is a huge part of my recovery. I'll talk to another member in recovery. My sponsor doesn't particularly like to talk on the phone. So I'll text her, or I'll call another member that does like to talk on the phone. So I find it's really important to have other people I can run things by in recovery that have either been through a similar situation or are just a good listening ear. And that's another thing I learned early on in recovery is I go to a lot of meetings because I always hear what I need to hear. I always hear different perspectives, which has really helped my recovery. Because what I grew up with was one set of rules, and this is the way things are, and this is the way you look at them, and there is no other alternative. And in program, I heard people sharing, oh, I like that idea better. And so, you know, being open-minded has really helped my recovery. So, you know, just setting the example by saying to a sponsee who's really frustrated with something, I say, well, you know, did you open your literature? Did you pray? Did you reach out to someone? Did you go to a meeting? In the beginning, I heard a long-timer say in a meeting, she says, how long do I have to go to these meetings? And her sponsor said, you get to go until you want to go. And I thought, oh, I'm glad I heard that, because there's days when I really don't want to go to a meeting. I'm all tucked in with my dogs on the couch, and it's like, do I really want to get in the car and drive? And that's when I really need to go, because I think my higher power is prompting me that that's important. And encouraging service. When someone asks me to be their sponsor, I say, what service positions do you have? And if they say, well, I'm not of service, I say, well, I'd like you to consider that as part of your recovery, because I like the line about when I got busy, I got better, which is absolutely true. Because when I wallow in my self-pity, I'm not doing anybody any good, particularly me. You know, when I don't go to meetings and I think, oh, I have enough recovery, I can figure this out on my own, that's when I'm in danger. So it's, you know, and I like the spiritual principle of self-discipline. You know, I used to think that was a really bad word. And when I started applying that, you know, it's really easy to get up in the morning and start my routine and have breakfast and feed my dogs and do whatever. But if I don't start my day with prayer and meditation, when I don't start my day off with being in conscious contact with God immediately, my day can really go off the rails. And so for me, self-discipline is doing what I need to do even when I don't want to do it. You know, I had a meeting with my sponsor yesterday, and I said, you know, I've been really frustrated that my husband leaves dishes on the counter. Well, we have a dishwasher, and why can't he just put them in there? And she said, well, who wants it done more? Who wants it in the dishwasher more? And I said, well, I do, of course. So this was a couple months ago. So when I met with her yesterday, I said, you know, I've had this huge awareness. I said, I just put his dishes in the dishwasher because it's not worth arguing over. It's not a big deal. There's just two of us. We don't have a bunch of kids. I said, and I had the awareness recently that I've been filling the dishwasher, and 9 times out of 10, when the dishwasher's done, he unloads it. Who knew? You know, I would not have been aware. I would have thought, it was always me. I'm always doing everything. Well, that's so not true. So, and I love the principle of integrity, you know, in step 5, you know, about sharing with another, whether God, ourselves, another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Integrity is really important. When I grew up, that wasn't modeled for me at all, and so I didn't really understand what it meant for a long time. But when I got to program, my first sponsor really explained to me what that meant. It meant doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do, being honest, not, you know, fudging the truth because it benefits you. And when I live by all these principles, you know, honesty, hope, faith, courage, all of them, I find when I do my 10th step at the end of the day, which is when I do it, you know, I review my day. Is there anyone? Most days, no. You know, when I learned to just, I heard someone turn to me yesterday, you know, I should never miss an opportunity to keep my mouth shut. And so if I keep my mouth shut, when I really want to say something that I think is really important and really beneficial to someone else, particularly a loved one, I usually keep my mouth shut. I talk to God about it. And then I let it go. And that's huge growth for somebody like me who always had the final word. I always knew what was best for everybody. I knew what was, nobody was doing it right. Nobody was doing it my way. And I learned that everybody has their way to do it. What a concept. And, you know, willingness in step 6. Sometimes in the beginning, I had to pray to be willing, to have the willingness to be willing. And because when I looked at these steps that were on the wall in the meetings that I first went to, I thought, okay, I get it. You know, I understand why they're written in that order, but they're a little scary. They're a little overwhelming. And, you know, but I learned that I'm still teachable. When I work with my sponsees, I will tell them, because this is what was modeled for me by my sponsors, the only step you can work out of order is step 11. You know, to seek through prayer and meditation to improve the conscious contact of God as you understand God and the power to, you know, pray for the willingness and the power to carry out His will. And so, because that helped me in the beginning, because I do have a very active prayer life, I really believe in prayer is a huge, huge part of my recovery. So, you know, when I share that with them, I say, it's okay. I'm not going to have all the answers for you. I think it's important for you to develop your spiritual relationship with the God of your understanding, whatever that looks like. It's probably not the same as mine, and it doesn't need to be. So if you develop that early on, it will help you with all 12 steps. So, you know, and someone pointed out recently, I really love this, in step 2, it says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And they said, maybe that applies to me and all my loved ones. You know, someone pointed out early on, when I came to program, my children were very young. And when they got to be teenagers, they said, by the way, you're not your children's higher power. I said, well, of course I am. I'm their mother. They said, no, yeah, let it go. And that was a really, really hard thing for me to do, particularly when they were doing things I didn't particularly care for. So, you know, I really practice these principles in all my affairs as frequently as I can. I don't work the program perfectly, nor am I expected to. But I think that extending grace and loving kindness to sponsees and sharing experience about something they're struggling with. Many times I've gone through what they've gone through, and I can say, well, this is what I did to get through it, and it worked for me most of the time. You know, I don't have the perfect solution for every problem, and I'm really grateful that God doesn't expect me to. I believe that's God's job. So I think that's all I have. I don't know if I've gone 15, but I think I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. I appreciate you sharing with us today. So up next is Tom. Please unmute yourself, Tom, and go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Tom, grateful member of Al-Anon. I actually want to go back and talk about my journey a little bit getting here in the first place. I think God's plan started early on for me in my life. I had some incidents happen in my late teens and early 20s that pushed me away from my higher power. And I recognize those now as probably the reason why I was in the situation I was. And, you know, I was running on self-will and probably made more money than a guy should make and was spending it all on myself and kind of living very frivolously. And I think that's kind of where God stepped in and put alcoholism in my life. And at one point that forced me to do something different with my life. And you know, now I can actually say that I am grateful for the disease of alcoholism affecting my life. Had it not been for that, I wouldn't have made the drastic change that I had to make and bring my higher power into my life. The first awarenesses of spiritual principles was probably in my fourth or fifth Al-Anon meeting, which just happened to be the long-timers event. I was so new to the program, I didn't know anybody, but the number of people in my home group actually told me that come to this event and we will save you a seat. And I'm like, what? I didn't understand that, you know. Walking in there was scary. There was probably 200 people in the room. And four or five people had actually saved me a seat in one of the front rows of the tables. And that was my first experience of unconditional love and acceptance. And that really made me feel good. That really made me feel like I was in the right place. I was unaccustomed to that. I always thought love had to be bought, acceptance had to be earned, and it felt really good. I just loved it. I knew that I belonged there at that point in time. And when someone shared a newcomer's welcome with me in a meeting, and also hearing that people who had far worse stories than I had, and they had recovered, and they were living happy and carefree lives, and even living with alcoholism in their home. That gave me some hope that there was a better life ahead for me. I struggled with my spirituality still, but I did get a sponsor, and my sponsor shared his program with me the way he was taught, which was get a home group, get a service commitment, I want you to reach out to three different people a day, and I want you to call me once a day, and I would like you to hit your knees and pray to your higher power, whatever that might look like. And I was like, well, it kind of sounds like a lot, but I think maybe I can do it. And he also gave me another piece of literature. He said, I want you to do a daily reading, and I want you to pick out a just for today, every day, and I want you to do it to the best of your ability. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of a tall order, and I really don't have a lot of time for this program in my life because I'm really pretty busy right now trying to manage someone else's life, which kind of went by the wayside when I really started feeling the love and acceptance in the rooms of Al-Anon. I didn't really realize how much time I could have when I stopped managing someone else's life. And that really consumed my life for a long time. And coming into Al-Anon, I really felt that love, and it helped increase my faith in my higher power because I saw what was going on around me, that people's lives were improving, whether there was alcoholism in their home or not. So I had to, you know, get down and get busy with my step work. And, of course, you know, I stalled out on step four because I wanted it to look a certain way and I wanted to do it perfect. And I didn't realize that the more times and the more often I worked my steps, the more would always be revealed in my life, that God was constantly working in my life, and I was constantly, my relationship with Him was constantly evolving. And I really needed to just do what was asked and not overthink it. And about 3 years into program, my sponsor dropped out. And so I kind of floundered for a little while, and I eventually picked up another sponsor. And I now realize that I would never, ever flounder like that again. That wasn't a good thing for myself. That started bringing back a lot of self-will, and basically just wasn't good for me. It wasn't good for the relationships around myself, and I needed to do what my sponsor says, and that's show up the way I need to show up, regardless of what anybody else is doing. And I'm thinking, well, okay, I think I can do that. So, another spiritual principle to me is patience. I need to be patient and allow my higher power to work in my life. And I need to practice patience with other people too. Because, I had these expectations of what life should look like. And, I've learned to let that go. Life is exactly how it's supposed to be for me right now. As long as I am cultivating my relationship with my higher power and asking Him for help, I have to be patient and just let those things happen. And my life will get better no matter what, but I need to work this program to the best of my ability. Do I do that? No, not always. There's times where I do become complacent, and I think things are going great, and I don't need to work as hard at my program. Well, that's absolutely silly for me because I know what that does to me. I experienced that when I lost my first sponsor. So, like I said, I need to do what I need to do on a daily basis. So I need to practice my faith, and not only in my higher power, but in my fellow man, and let go of the results of whatever anybody else shows up like. Humility. Humility is something that's evolving in me. I did a lot of things early on, and I feel like maybe they were ego-based. I loved the pats on the back. I loved that everybody told me I'm doing a great job. I loved that everybody saw what I was doing. Well, I need to do what I'm doing to serve my fellow man, and to be a better servant to my higher power. what I need to do in the morning when I wake up and hit my knees is I need to ask my higher power for guidance. What is your will for me today? How can I best serve my fellow man? How can I best serve you? And how do you want me to show up in people's lives? And another thing that was, is really nice about being of service is it's an opportunity to show love to our fellow Al-Anon members. Because one of my biggest things is I love greeting newcomers. I love being there. I love sharing newcomer meetings. Because that gives me a chance to show that love that I received early on in program from all the people that took me in and kind of stuffed me under their wing and kept me comfortable and kept me warm and allowed me to be myself, even as flawed as I was. And I know what that feels like, and it feels good. And I'm not doing it because I want the recognition. I'm doing it because that is how the program was shown to me, is to be there for those people and be of service and allow yourself to be open to whatever someone else is going through and just show up. Because I have found that after sharing my experience with a lot of other people, that we have a lot more in common with everybody else than we ever thought we did. And I think that's one of the things that binds us together, not only with the alcoholism, but all the isms that have affected our lives. And another one is integrity. My sponsor is big about this. He says that if you sign up or say you're going to do something, you need to do it. And you need to go to any length necessary to accomplish that task. Because we, in this program, are a man of our words. And when we say we're going to do something, you do it. And, but it also brought me to a point where I know that there's times where a service commitment comes up. I need to ask questions also, you know, and determine whether this fits me. And then I need to pray on it a little bit. I don't just jump and say yes now. Every time someone asks me to do something, I love to be of service because that has brought me as much growth as the step work. And it also gives me an opportunity to kind of gauge my program, to kind of see that growth. Early on, I never could see growth in myself. I had to have it pointed out by my fellow members. They would say, oh my gosh, you're doing so good. You know, you ran across this 2 years ago and this is what you did. And I'm like, wow, you're right. You know, I didn't even realize that I was actually changing. And my higher power keeps giving me opportunities to show up differently in my relationships, whether it be at work, whether it be at home, whether it be with fellow Al-Anon members. And, that's just a beautiful thing. Another thing that popped up early in my program was my sponsor was a, what you would call spiritual sandpaper. And I kept trying to seek guidance on this, and people said, well, you know what, just pray for that person right where they're at, and you will come to love that person. So I intentionally sat next to that person at every meeting that I went to. And it was funny because early on that person was constantly chirping in my ear about I should do this and I should do that and blah, blah, blah. And it just irritated me. I left the meeting feeling worse than before I got there. So after walking through that and actually sitting next to that person, at one point in time after praying for him and praying for me to have acceptance, I didn't hear that chirping in my ear anymore. And I actually came to love that person right where they were at. And that was growth for me. I think this program's constantly evolving in my life. It's constantly working. I get to grow every day that I show up. one of my biggest things is service. I love to be of service because that's giving back of myself through time and efforts. Without giving back, I don't know where this program would be. You know, I really don't know. I mean, I'm sure this program could function just fine without me. I'm not anybody's higher power, and I'm certainly not the higher power of this program, but I love being able to show up the way I need to show up on a daily basis and be that trusted servant of my higher power. And another big thing for me is gratitude. That was something I started working on really early on with my sponsor and some other people in program, was being grateful for what I do have and not looking at what I don't have. And that gets me out of my head. You know, I have to remember that there's no solution in looking at what I don't have. Happiness can be found when I know what what I'm grateful for on a daily basis. And I've gone as far as A to Z gratitude lists with people on the phone or at meetings. And it makes me aware of my surroundings a lot better than focusing on what I don't have or what somebody else is doing, because that only leads to that stinking thinking that can put me right back in the hole I was in before I got here. And you know, love and tolerance of my fellow person, no matter what the situation, because again, it's showing up the way I need to show up. I'm never going to get people to behave the way I want them to behave. And I'm sure some people are just plain tolerant of me at times. And so, you know, I think when we practice love and tolerance of other people, I think that works in my head, and I actually see them as more accepting of me. I don't know if it changes their behavior. It probably doesn't. It just changes how I think about that person, and it gives me a chance to show up differently on a daily basis. And how do I apply these principles in my sponsorship relationship? Well, willingness to give freely of myself kind of rubs off on other people too, I think. And anonymity, not gossiping or criticizing anybody, but having that one-on-one relationship with my sponsees builds their confidence in their fellow man, that others can be trusted. Because I didn't come in here with a lot of trust. I had serious trust issues. I was seriously flawed and still am seriously flawed, but I'm constantly working on myself. I get to show up the way I need to show up on a daily basis and, keep working on my own spiritual growth. And, encouraging service is another thing that, was taught to me early on in program. I was told, like I said, to get a home group. Get a service commitment in that home group. And, none of those service commitments have been to my strengths. I didn't really, you know, my strengths coming into this program did not apply to Al-Anon. They applied to things that outside hobbies or my job. And a commitment to service commitment, learned more about myself, learning how to get along with other people and function in group settings. And every commitment that I've ever taken on has given me growth in one way or another, sometimes day by day, sometimes minute by minute. I get to just grow and show up and learn more about myself and actually learn that I actually have some value in these relationships. So, applying all these principles in my daily affairs, it's a matter of showing up and doing what I was asked to do initially, and that's sit down, kneel down, hit my knees, and pray to my higher power, what is your will for me today? how do you want me to show up in other people's lives and show love and tolerance. So I don't know where I'm at time-wise. I'm so honored that you guys asked me to share. I love everybody I've met in this program. Every one of you has been a part of my recovery, whether you know it or not. Whether it was just loving me where I was at or some encouraging words or sharing your own experience with me. So I'm so grateful for this program. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate you sharing today, and I think you are a great example of how to be of service. So, thank you. So our next speaker is going to be Judy. Please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Hi, everyone. I'm Judy. Thanks for the opportunity to be here today. I think the last few years in our fellowship, there have been so many more references to spiritual principles. And yet I even hear longtime members say, what do you mean when you say spiritual principles? And I think that's why it's a good idea to get a sponsor, because a sponsor early on can help answer some of those questions. Today I understand that a spiritual principle is really a fundamental truth or belief that serves as the foundation for my behavior. Since Al-Anon is considered a spiritual program, it's easy to say that everything in our legacies is spiritual, like step one, the principle of powerlessness, tradition one, the principle of common welfare or unity. Concept one addresses the principle of responsibility. Yet for all of those principles that we heard Cindy identify, I think some of the principles for me are truly more spiritual than others. Some are universal, but some are really spiritual. And this was a good opportunity for me to think about what spiritual means to me. And it has to do with my inner life, my soul, that non-physical part of me, my heart. These are the principles that move me to get a different perspective, look at life with fresh eyes, and actually feel like maybe life was worth living after all. These principles are the ones that are mentioned in our welcome and our closing. And I think those are two of the most spiritual pieces of Cal to me that have ever been written. And every time I hear them at a meeting, I'm often moved to tears, especially if I'm reading them myself. And these are really simple principles. They're acceptance, understanding, and comfort. And all of these, I think, have to do with love. Love with no strings attached. It was these three simple principles that helped me believe that maybe there really was a God after all, and that God wanted what was best for me. I had an argument with God coming into the program. So I think I experienced a kind of epiphany by simply attending meetings, because people were kind to me. They walked the walk, as you hear people say, in recovery. And I didn't have to earn my way into Al-Anon or pay my dues to be a member. I was welcome, I was comforted, and I was loved unconditionally, I think, even when I didn't know it. And what's more spiritual than that? The caring of members for me, I think, moved me to start noticing and caring for others. And I know my first sponsor said, once you accept what Al-Anon has to offer, hang on and be prepared for the ride of your life. I didn't understand what she meant, but today I do. But I think the aha moment for me that came with that was realizing that I had to keep an open mind about the program and accept that love and comfort from others. And I needed to also participate and not hold back as a suspicious, kind of hesitant onlooker of what was happening at meetings. So because of my participation, I began to feel hope, which I think is a great spiritual principle. In that motivated me to reach out to others and practice these principles in all my affairs. And I think, how do these principles manifest themselves in me and others? To me, it's about embracing Tradition 5. I practice the 12 steps myself. I welcome and give comfort, especially to newcomers who walk in the meeting, and especially people I sponsor. But I had to get out of myself and care more about others. And the first practical step, I don't think anyone would have wanted me to be a sponsor until I began to exhibit better behavior. And one of the first things that I put in my life was courtesy. There's a page in our ODAP that says, lay down your weapons and pick up your tools, and it refers to courtesy. So I had to stop pointing fingers, stop blaming, raising my voice, even swearing. I mean, I was prone to a lot of swearing, and I found that wasn't the best way to express myself. So I had to clean up my verbal language and my body language and my tone of voice and just learn to be more kind. And today I have the opportunity to practice courtesy a lot, whether it's at the doctor's office or with a clerk at Walmart, somebody at the gym, but especially with my spouse at home. I thank him often. I thank him for bringing the stepladder in from the garage so I can dust the closet shelf. I thank him for taking out the trash again. Or I thank him for being really quiet in the morning so I could sleep in. So I have found courtesy a real important part of my life. Because sponsorship is about meaningful and productive relationships based on these principles, I practice that with my sponsor, people I sponsor. But I think there are four things that I think show the principles in action. And one for me would be that I attend meetings regularly. That's the key. That means I have a home group, a group where, if I'm lucky, my sponsor attends. I show up every week and people get to know me. For those I sponsor, I hope to see them at meetings. But one thing I've realized, with some people I sponsor, they might feel that need to check in with me or kind of report to me when I see them at the meeting. And I say to them, you know, don't talk to me at the meeting. We get to meet by ourselves. Talk to other people and reach out to other members. You can chat with me when we're together. And I think that also prevents us from looking like we have a clique or some special relationship. It preserves our anonymity, and I think that's real important because we want to look like a fellowship of equals. And there's no prestige in sponsorship. I don't want to look special, especially at my home group. So attending meetings regularly is one thing, and just being a member. Secondly, I keep working on my communication skills. During the week, I might reach out to people that I sponsor, send them a little email. If I read something that I think they might like, I share that. I try to listen more when we meet. Listening, I think, is a huge part of communication. I don't interrupt, and I speak as an encourager and try to look for the good and the positive. So I am discerning, but I'm not judging, I think, when I'm sitting with a person and we're in a sponsor-sponsee relationship. Thirdly, I only use Cal. I bring it in my Al-Anon travel bag, and I have the appropriate book or workbook with me. And I encourage people to get their tools so we can spring into action. I don't expect the person I sponsor either to do all the work. I do the work myself. Once I fill the workbook, I buy another one, and I start over, too. I think we make life manageable by being organized. Cal is our central focus. We're not just there to catch up and have coffee. And that leads to my fourth practical point. We keep a calendar. We're organized. We agree on our next meeting when we leave our last one. So we're committed to our recovery. We date things as well. It's nice to have a record of recovery because I kind of forget, like, oh yeah, we talked about that, or oh yeah, I was in a bad place at that time. But together we have it on the calendar. So I think that helps me and anybody I sponsor feel like we're really working the program because we're consistent and we're developing our relationship. It becomes intimate and interdependent in a healthy way, and we look forward to seeing each other. So those are just practical ways, I think, that the principles show up. But if I looked at four really spiritual principles in that relationship, I would identify these four, and you can identify them with the acronym TEAR, not TEAR, T-E-A-R, TEAR. We've shed a lot of tears. One is trust. And Tom alluded to that. That's so important. Relationships are built on trust. I came in not trusting, so I understand that about others, that hesitancy to reveal who I really am or what's really going on. And so that takes time, which is why we commit to meeting and keep meeting. And the best thing I think I can do to contribute to trust is to share my own weaknesses. I have to share the horrible stories about myself where I really failed or fell short. Because I know for me, when I heard my sponsor talk about what went wrong, or even when she cried at a meeting, I felt better because she was acting like a loser just like I was. And so that gave me hope. So I share myself. I am vulnerable. And we don't talk about the alcoholic or other people. We just talk about ourselves, and I think that really builds trust. The second one is equality. We hear that Al-Anon is a fellowship of equals, and it would be easy, I think, in a sponsor-sponsee relationship to feel less than or maybe more informed than, but I always need to remember that we are only members. And it does not matter how much time I have in the program or the person I'm sponsoring in the program. We're simply children of God in a program on a path. And if anybody even asks me how long I have been in Al-Anon, I avoid answering that question. I can allude and say a while. But I'm not a teacher. I'm not a monitor. And I'm not a judge, and I do not want to be a revered member. I simply want to be a member. So it's important that I say, I don't know. I wish I had the answer, but I don't. So we experience a loving interchange, and I think that's the equality of a sponsor-sponsee relationship. Third, acceptance. That has to do with just simply accepting where people are. If they've forgotten their materials at home, didn't get it done, forgot to answer an email, it's okay. We have the rest of our lifetime to work the program. Another way I can be accepting when we're sharing together is not to raise my eyebrows in shock when I hear something. Not to frown or look disappointed, but just to be neutral and listen as a caring friend. I don't have the answers, but I do have the ears to listen and the arms to hug. And the last one is respect. I show respect by being on time, not forgetting what we're meeting. I even try to dress up and look decent, because I know when I came in, not dress up, you know, wear a suit or whatever, but get out of my old junkie clothes, because when I came to Al-Anon, I was far too casual. You know, I wasn't going out much. So I'd comb my hair and look respectable, put on a little makeup, and act as if I'm happy to see the person. And the truth is, I am, you know. And I think it's so important to feel respected, because for me, I felt cut off, disrespected, and again, I have to always remember in this respect that people have been hurt by alcoholism, and so even if they're a little negative or directing something towards me, it's not about me. That person has been affected by alcoholism, and I'm just there as a fellow member. So I think trust, equality, acceptance, and respect, those are principles that manifest themselves in our relationships. And as for encouraging service, the best encouragement I can offer, like we already heard, is just to be an active member, a good example. I know the value and the possibilities of serving and how they can take somebody on a real path to personal growth that you can't even imagine, because that's happened for me. But I can't put my expectations on anybody else. The best thing I can do is be enthusiastic about my service and share about it. And I have done that, and sometimes even sharing disappointments, the reality of something in a service role. You know, you've heard the saying, if you want your character defects to come out, get involved in service. But it's an opportunity to work on them and to grow. So recently, I have a person I sponsor who is so qualified to be the new group rep. And we had elections, and she didn't stand. She didn't offer her name. And, you know, in my heart, I felt a little disappointed, but I know it's not her idea. She didn't want to do it at this time. And I've learned you can't force people to be something they're not, or to do what they don't want to do. You know, maybe her time isn't now, but it might be later. So I do know, though, that most people I sponsor are in service. So I don't know if that means I am a good example, or we're just in a really supportive home group that talks about service and is involved. So service is a part of our triangle, and that would be the point that I would try to make. So I think the simple spiritual principles, and Tom talked about them too, you know, it's loving, accepting, tolerating. These things can't be underestimated. We can work, but if we're not showing love and connection to others, I think it's basically futile. It would seem false. I think our co-founder referred to this Al-Anon phenomenon in her book, Lois Remembers, in the closing. She talks about the great principle of love. And I think love is what we're talking about. It's really what heals. And being loved and accepted by others has connected me to a higher power. I didn't have the higher power when I came in, but I do today. And I think that's what the higher power would do for us, love and accept us as we are. So being a sponsor, being sponsored, these for me have been wonderful opportunities to experience love of other people, and love within the safe and clear boundaries of this beautiful program we call Al-Anon. It's really hard to define a spiritual journey when spiritual is a matter of the heart, but I think that is what it's all about. So thanks for asking me today to share. I really enjoyed just thinking about it and being a part of this. Thanks.
Thank you to our speakers for sharing. We will now close with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.